Hello and welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that is dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I am your host, Lorene King, and today I am visiting with several ladies, and they're all from OSF Hospital. One person is Dr. Shelley Shallot, who is Medical Director of Newborn Nursery and a Newborn Hospitalist at OSF Children's Hospital. Our other guest is Sarah Williams, who's an RN and supervisor over birth to five division from Tazewell County Health Department, but she's also a master's in nursing student at OSF College of Nursing. And then finally, we have Nurse Afifi Halaby, who is a doctor of nursing practice student at OSF Medical Center. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
That's
you.
A mouthful. I got all these doctors and nurses here. And so what they want to talk about today is marijuana usage, but specifically as it relates to a certain segment. But before we get into that, I want to ask the question. Tell me about Illinois law as it relates to medical marijuana, because people know that it's legal, and so lots of people are doing it openly. But what does the law really say about usage of marijuana?
So specifically, when
recreational marijuana. Yeah.
So with the state of Illinois recently legalizing recreational marijuana, we have noticed an increase in marijuana use during pregnancy. We have pregnant women that either admit to the use during their prenatal screenings, or it's resulting in toxicology testing results. What we want, the purpose of this interview is that
let me interrupt you just for a moment. So, you know, you say you've noticed this trend. Now, mm-hmm. Is this something new or has it been going on for a while?
So since March 1st of 2022, the Department of Public Health, Illinois Department of Public Health, changed their APHORS case definition to include reporting of maternal marijuana use or if the marijuana toxicology test results are positive. And I'm going to let Sarah speak to that a little bit more. She's from Tazewell County Health Department, and she can discuss the trending that she's noticed in their county.
Okay.
Sure. Afifi, you use the term APHORS, and APHORS is an acronym for Adverse Pregnancy Outcome Reporting System. And so the Illinois Department of Public Health recognizes certain diagnoses as potentially developmentally or physically limiting to children. And cannabis exposure and other drug exposures are included in that definition now. So when that definition of cannabis toxicology was added to high-risk infant follow-up, we immediately began to see an increase in the number of cases and referrals that we received for that program.
Did you always screen women for drug use during pregnancy?
So we have always screened for certain types of drug exposure. Mm-hmm. And cannabis was at one time screened for toxicology exposure in Illinois. And then a couple of years before it was legalized for use in Illinois, it was dropped from the definitions. When it was added to the definition, when it was legalized for use, mm-hmm. the Illinois Department of Public Health recognized an increase in prevalence, an increase in use. They also recognized an increase in potency. And because of concerns that were coming from ongoing research about ongoing developmental changes in brains of babies exposed to cannabis, they added that definition back for surveillance.
Okay. Now, have you noticed a particular age range of women that are using it, or is it just across the board?
Sure. Our research shows us that women who are 21 years or less of age are more likely than other population sectors to use. There is use among other age sectors as well, but that is where the majority of use is occurring.
Okay. So it's the younger women that are more likely to be used in marijuana. And then what are the risks to the mother's fetus if they use marijuana while they're pregnant or if they're breastfeeding? Dr. Shallot?
Yeah, hello. That's a wonderful question. I think that the conversation around this can be very confusing to moms. One thing we know is that the recommendations from like ACOG, AAP, the nursing organizations are all pretty clear in their recommendations that pregnant women should be informed about possible effects. And we have definitely seen effects on birth weight, head size. There's some concern for congenital malformations. In the past, it's been hard because there's a lot of confounding factors. The dose has changed. There's some, you know, tobacco smoking can be confounding. But more recent literature is very, very clear that we are seeing these effects on the fetus. The marijuana is a cannabinoid, which is a type the endocannabinoid system is actually in the developing fetus's brain, the neuronal receptors. It's neuronal receptors. And so marijuana is actually cannabinoid. So we know it directly affects the brain of the developing newborn. We also see some direct sort of withdrawal effects when the babies are first born in the hospital, where they appear jittery sometimes.
Because they're hooked.
Well, they're used to having marijuana, and so when they're born, then they're not. And so, yeah, they can have some similar feelings like anyone could.
Now, previously, weren't moms or potential mom pregnant women advised not to smoke, just nicotine? Mm-hmm. Is that still, you still focus on that as well?
Yes, that's a great thought. So we routinely, moms are, I think, are well aware, and OB providers and our prenatal community, tobacco smoke or alcohol, that can have deleterious effects on a fetus. The marijuana conversation is sort of lagging, I think. Keeping in mind that is a substance, we know that it affects the actual neuron receptors in the baby's developing brain. It makes sense that it would have an effect, but we just haven't.
And so Lorraine, this is where we want to focus on why pregnant women are choosing to use marijuana or continuing to use marijuana.
I mean, even after counseling, they continue, you think?
Well, so first we want to let them know that, you know, just because it's legal doesn't mean that it's safe.
Right, right. Just like cigarettes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And just because, and a lot of them think it's a natural substance, it's a green plant, it's an herbal substance, so they think it's safe.
But we know that everything that's natural is not safe.
That is correct. You're absolutely correct. And so that's where it falls upon us as healthcare providers to make sure that we are asking these moms, are you using? How much? How often? What type? Why are you using it? And that becomes another conversation that needs to happen with these moms.
What do they say?
So again, a lot of them say that it helps them with their stress, anxiety, depression. It helps them with the nausea and vomiting associated with the pregnancy. And they think that because, again, it's a natural substance, that it's safer than taking a prescribed medication, than taking a pill. So this is where it falls on us then to really start to have these conversations with the mom and find out why. How can we help you to stop using it or to even decrease using it? The other question we need to ask them is, are you planning on breastfeeding your baby? Because that's very important. Mm-hmm. So that's where it falls upon us to start having these questions and start having these conversations in a non-judgmental and non-threatening manner with these moms, and not just them as well too. You know, or do they live in an environment where somebody at home is using marijuana? So that falls upon us, and those are the conversations that we as healthcare providers need to find out why before we can ask them to stop.
Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are thinking about the conversation about medicinal marijuana. Mm-hmm. So when you say the lady says she's using to prevent stress and alleviate nausea. Mm-hmm. That person is thinking of it in those terms for their own well-being, mm-hmm. and but they're not giving enough attention to the well-being of their child. Mm-hmm. And so from what you said already, it sounds like a lot of damage is done prior to birth. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of opportunity in our prenatal care providers as well to really have this knowledge themselves, mm-hmm. and share a consistent message, because mm-hmm. I truly don't think that our moms are hearing all of this
that message
from everyone mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And the other barrier I've heard from them in the hospital is even when you share this information, sometimes they're hesitant about the pharmacologic route, especially for mental health issues, mm-hmm. if they've had another family member who's had a negative effect. So it really is about a conversation, giving all of us having the right knowledge, the providers giving the right information, mm-hmm. and then listening mm-hmm. and working together to find a right solution for that family.
We've put a lot of emphasis on opioid use, and rightly, mm-hmm. But in those conversations, marijuana use and the effects of it have been overshadowed, and we've looked at it as the lesser of two evils, and it really it needs to be considered among those other harmful substances.
Now, when you say you look at marijuana as the lesser of two evils, what's the one that's greater than marijuana?
Well, in that, I was saying that marijuana, I think, at times has been overshadowed. Marijuana use has been overshadowed by opioid use and our okay. concern for women using opioids. And we certainly need to pay attention to that. We want to see that lessened. But while we're having those conversations, we can't avoid or neglect mm-hmm. other conversations about other substance use as well.
Okay. Now, one of the things you said that you don't think the message is getting out there, so you're concentrated on that because that's your area of expertise. And so we need to get primary care physicians involved and all the other medical providers involved that women see to get this message.
Yes.
And so how can we help get that messaging through the entire system so that women become more aware and that the message comes across more clearly and loudly?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of the work that we're trying to do. You use the words consistent messaging, mm-hmm. and that's really important. Part of the concern right now is that depending on who I talk to, mm-hmm. I'm going to hear a different message about the safety of mm-hmm. cannabis use or the concerns about cannabis use. If I talk to a friend or if I look on the internet, I might find one set of recommendations. If I talk to a healthcare provider, mm-hmm. depending on their study and their field of expertise, I might hear another recommendation. There's a difference between an opinion mm-hmm. and a fact. Mm-hmm. I might prefer bacon to sausage, mm-hmm. but when we're talking about marijuana use during pregnancy, it's not opinion-based. Mm-hmm. It's very much factually based. And naturalizing, normalizing the conversations where we can say that no amount of marijuana is safe during pregnancy is really important. And so the more we talk about that mm-hmm. and the more we put that message out there and provide training and education about that, mm-hmm. then the better off our healthcare community and our community at large will be.
And so we know that a lot of individuals tend to listen to their friends mm-hmm. and family yes. about experiences before consulting with people who know the science and the biology
yes.
of it. And so that's the message that's not coming through.
Exactly.
So then the ones that talk to you and share with you, like, how do they respond, you know, when you tell them about this?
I will say I talk to moms who've had new babies at the hospital all the time, and I just so appreciative of them when mm-hmm. we have conversations and sit down and talk about what's going on with their life, mm-hmm. how open and honest mm-hmm. and sharing they are. Mm-hmm. And as I said, most times their choices are for marijuana use are coming from a mental health perspective. Mm-hmm. So generally, I find it's a really open, honest conversation, and I share the information that we have, and they're very receptive mm-hmm. To that information. But like I said, sometimes it's a harder action if you're treating a symptom of some sort. So then we have to work together to find an alternative.
Yeah.
And Lorraine, this is where I think we have opportunity as well to work with our local policymakers as well as state level.
Are you talking about politicians? Well, yeah. Or the medical professionals.
It's for a good cause.
Okay.
But this is, you know, I think one of the challenges that we have, and this is what's consistent in the literature, and I think Dr. Shalit and Sarah will agree with me, is that even healthcare providers don't have enough information on this topic. And what they have maybe is also has a little personal bias to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have really anything with consistent information
right.
and training for right. the healthcare providers to have these conversations
yeah.
With these patients.
So how can you do that? I mean, so we want to talk about
absolutely.
Solutions a little
right.
bit later, so I'm trying to get the problem out. And
yeah.
so we know we've got these women
right.
that are using, and they've told you why they're
right.
using it. Nobody's just doing it just to be doing. They think that they're helping
right
themselves.
Mm-hmm. Sure
they are.
And
mm-hmm.
then when they find out the negative impact it has on their child, mm-hmm. not just them, but on a long-term basis, how do they respond then?
And I would add to that, as far as we talked about the short-term effects
mm-hmm.
with the smaller sizes, the smaller brains, the
mm-hmm.
withdrawal, perhaps some birth defects, but long-term for sure, we're mm-hmm. seeing some concern for intellectual disability
oh.
and learning
mm-hmm.
disorders. An increased risk of autism, some effects on memory and achievement, and this can persist into adulthood. And these are what our most recent studies are showing us,
mm-hmm.
and the science is, I think, becoming very clear
mm-hmm.
on that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Okay. For those listeners who may have just joined us, you're listening to WPNV 106.3 on your FM dial, and you're listening to How Do You Feel? The show that's dedicated to your health and wellness. And today, I'm speaking with Dr. Shelley Shalit, who is the medical director of Newborn Nursery at OSF Children's Hospital, with Sarah Williamson from the Tazewell County Health Department, who's a supervisor over Birth to Five Division, and also with Alfifi Halaby, who is a Department of Nursing student at OSF Medical Center. And these ladies are telling us about a very disturbing trend related to marijuana use, and that is in pregnancy, and the reasons why women say that they're using marijuana during pregnancy. And they've already pointed out the risk to the fetus short term. The child comes out already impacted by
yes.
the mom's use. And then you say it has these long term use of a smaller brain, lower birth weight, and also will hinder their intellectual development. And so now, then another disturbing thought that you said is that they're not getting a consistent message from the medical system, from the network of physicians. So, for example, I have lots of doctors, and I go for one thing, and I remember one doctor telling me one thing. We got to forget about this, and we've got to just treat this. And we know you have to consider all the things that are going on when you're treating some person, and you want to do it effectively. So one of the big issues you all pointed out is that they're not getting a consistent message from the medical community.
Yes.
Which is very disturbing. So they go here and they hear this and they come to you and they hear something else. And so then they are confused.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can we start
mm-hmm.
to chip away at the inconsistency of the messaging that they're getting so that we can be more effective in treating that?
Sure.
We'll start with Afifi.
Sure. So part of my doctorate of nursing practice project was on marijuana use in pregnancy. And as I had researched, I learned that the state of Colorado had a very nicely scripted guidance book.
Okay.
Booklet, and it focused on the providers, and it gave them scripted messaging on what questions to ask the mom, and then also gave the providers some answers, you know, on how to have that conversation. And I think this is something that really isn't present here locally. I'm not sure of any organization that has something here locally. And I think this is where we have opportunity at the state level to do what other states that have been dealing with this challenge for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, they have now created within their Department of Health websites at the state level, training materials, education materials, learning modules for focusing on the healthcare provider. So it's to educate the provider, whether it's a nurse, it's a physician, whether it's a counselor at an addiction recovery center, for example. It's to educate any clinical and non-clinical provider on what questions to ask, and then follow it up with correct and evidence-based information that they can share with the mom.
So you're saying that mm-hmm. this should be a part of the curriculum?
Yes, and it's heading there in yes. certain universities, but we also need to have it at the state level as well, too.
So do you have special training to introduce this topic with nursing students?
I don't have the training, my goal was to bring awareness mm-hmm. To this topic and really give my peers in this industry just a tool to help them with having this conversation. That was my goal. So hopefully we can take it further and get it to a statewide level where a lot of this training and education is available for clinical and non-clinical healthcare providers.
So you're looking at the education system. You're not talking about just the state representatives and senators. You're talking about the education system getting it done statewide.
Right. And it has to be available. I think we need to make it accessible through the Illinois Department of Public Health, okay. through their website. Now, okay. they do have information on it, mm-hmm. but it's more focused on the mom, on the parents. But there really isn't anything specific focused on the clinical and non-clinical healthcare providers that interact with this patient population on a daily basis. And that's where I think we have some opportunity.
So who would be in charge of doing that, getting those individuals involved
level? Yeah, so the Department of Public Health has several committees mm-hmm. That are open to the public. You can access them. I've attended a few of these meetings and brought this forward as well, too. The conversation has started. Mm-hmm. How it moves next, I think, is yet to be determined, but it's really shedding some light on this topic and getting it. You want to make it easier for people to get access to information, mm-hmm. but again, let's give information for our healthcare providers as well, too, where they can access something that helps them deliver their, do their job.
So the three of you are working face-to-face and directly with the individuals, that are impacted. So is there any possibility of you convening some kind of citywide or statewide gathering to help spread the word?
I think that's a great mm-hmm. idea. We have done, especially Afifi here has mm-hmm. done some lovely talks, and we within the university mm-hmm. and Grand Rounds, the health departments, mm-hmm. These talks have been given. As far as patient facing, I'm not sure. We haven't delved into that realm mm-hmm. yet. Mm-hmm. I would add about supporting the families. This document mm-hmm. is excellent. One thing to think about as far as how we can do this better mm-hmm. is to assume that this is something maybe in everyone's life instead of, and so the like tobacco or alcohol, we ask and we screen everyone and we mm-hmm. offer support information to everyone. So instead of assuming, or maybe someone says they use marijuana and mm-hmm. then we take this wonderful mm-hmm. education in the healthcare system and we discuss with them, mm-hmm. that we really just need to be talking to every single patient mm-hmm. about it and providing information mm-hmm. to every single patient yeah. about that.
But even if you can't talk to every patient, you need to be talking to every student.
True.
Every nursing and medical student. I worked for the U of I College of Medicine for 10 years, so they definitely should be having mm-hmm. some very education true. On that when they go through their training at the hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
And then what do you feel that ordinary people in the community can do to help you? Because, mm-hmm. I know Tazewell County mm-hmm. does a lot of community work.
Mm-hmm. the Illinois Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act charged the Department of Human Services with creating a resource. And so Let's Talk Cannabis is a web-based resource that people can go to mm-hmm. for information about cannabis use. It discusses safety and use, and it discusses specific effects of cannabis use on pregnancy and on breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great fact-based resource for folks.
And when you talk to these women, you know, that are using, and you know, they've shared with you why they do. Do you provide them with, you know, something that they can take in hand and take away and say, if I do this, this is the result, so they know that what they're doing is not for the benefit of their child long term? Mm-hmm. Did they get anything like that?
There are handouts that have been created, but more than that, we understand the benefit of conversation. Mm-hmm. I can hand you a piece of paper and you can take that with you. You may look at it again. You may not look at it again. You may dispose of it in a circular mm-hmm. file. Mm-hmm. But the effects of our conversation will last with you.
So oh, absolutely.
Building rapport, taking time yes. to listen to you, to understand what's important to you, mm-hmm. and then to really talk to you about how you achieve those goals, that is where we build traction. That is where we make a difference.
Then do you follow up with them to see if they changed their habits after you talk to them? Because if you handed me something and they talked about something, well, when I go to the next physician, I'm like, look, I got this, and this says such and such, and what's your opinion on this?
I think that's where consistent messaging comes in. You know, it's not only universal screening of everyone, but it's ongoing conversations. You know, throughout pregnancy, we may feel one way one day and mm-hmm. feel very different, have different symptomology another day or another week. And we might not use at one point, but we may use at a different point. And so continuing those conversations at no point in time during pregnancy is it safe. And these are other options for you. These are, you know, other things that we can discuss.
But have any of you started to track the behavior of these women? That you meet with?
Yeah, we're really in the beginning stages of it. And mm-hmm. I think that's some of the work that Afifi has started and that I'm hoping to mm-hmm. be able to continue as well.
Have you made contact with any other medical systems in the other parts of Illinois to see if they're experiencing the same kind of phenomenon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you found that in your research?
Yeah. I think locally we're seeing, and I think, Sarah, you have the results as well, too. But Peoria County, Tazewell County, and Woodford County, yeah, their case number of referrals has increased. I know, I think, Tazewell County, your number of referrals has doubled. And that's due to the increased use of marijuana yeah. during the pregnancy.
Yeah. So what would you say to those listeners, mm-hmm. you know, who might be future moms or moms out there who are listening, who might be using marijuana because they think for medicinal purposes mm-hmm. and family members? What would you yeah. say to them?
I would just clearly say that it is not safe for the fetus and the developing brain, and to have conversations mm-hmm. with your provider about alternatives yeah. to treat your symptoms. Yeah. Just yeah. very clearly that it has impact.
I think just letting us know, you know, there's no judgment. It's non-threatening. With us having this information, we are better able to help them and have a healthy pregnancy, have a healthy delivery, have a healthy newborn. And if they consider breastfeeding as well, too, you know, let us know what their plans are. And just letting us know, because then we can better help them. We can't help them unless they help us with information. So,
but how long does that stay in the system if they're mm-hmm. ingesting mm-hmm. marijuana? How long does that stay in their system? Because you're talking about it impacting breastfeeding now.
Mm-hmm. So there have been different studies, and anywhere from 6 days to 6 weeks is the amount of time that mm-hmm. it can stay in the body and be passed through breast milk.
Okay.
You know, and so, as Afifi said, you know, during pregnancy, during breastfeeding, these are important considerations. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to keep in mind that we're not pregnant forever.
Right.
We don't breastfeed forever. Mm-hmm. It's you know, it's 40 weeks of pregnancy. It's a year to 18 months maybe of breastfeeding. And these are things that we abstain from for periods of time mm-hmm. to protect the well-being of our children, the health of our children, and their development, because we care about them and what happens mm-hmm. to them.
But when they come back for the next visit, do you test them again to see if that's still in the system at the same level?
We don't test. But yeah. this is where that consistent messaging comes
okay.
in, where we screen.
Okay.
You know, you said, you know, before you got pregnant or during your pregnancy, but uh-huh. you stopped. Have you resumed? Do you mm-hmm. have plans to resume? Mm-hmm. So those are all questions that we need to ask them.
So this is just really in the embryonic stages.
Yes.
So it's a study that, you know, you could do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could get a grant, you know, from federal government or the state to track these women and the impact on their children, to follow the children, you know, for a few years.
Yeah. I love what you said about, you know, our, as we hopefully have more consistent messaging and we're having the conversations, does it help help them? Does it change behavior? Do they find support in other
resources? That's the important thing.
And that's, I thought that was a great
suggestion. You want them to take that information back to those cousins and aunts and friends that have been telling them something else.
That's exactly.
Okay. I see a study coming out of this. I think that you should start a study. Contact CDC, see if they have any money. And then you can start this and you can come back in 2 years and tell us what happened.
That would be awesome. There's actually two current studies happening right now. I think
on that subject?
On this subject. Right. There's one through UIC. And if there's one locally as well. No, is it locally or?
There's one through JUMP and
where
they are looking to interview moms to gather their voice and hear their perspectives.
Yeah.
And really asking these questions as to what's your understanding and why, you know, why is this your choice? Really with the goal to help us help them.
And then there's also a long-term study called the ABCD study, and that's where a lot of our information about the changes to the brain are coming from.
Now, you just triggered something. So we talked about how it impacts the baby's brain. What about the parent's brain, the mom? How's it impacting the mom's brain?
Well, again, that might depend on the age that she is when she uses. Our brain development doesn't stop until we're 25 years of age. And we know, again, that our greatest population of use is less than 25 years of age. So not only are we affecting our own brains, we're affecting our baby's brains while we're using. And so we're really cutting ourselves off at the knees in a lot of ways.
And doing something that's really harmful to your child on a long-term basis. Okay. Closing thoughts. Closing messaging for our listeners. And hope some medical people are listening too. Have you ever met with this program called Centering Pregnancy?
Yes.
So that would be a good audience to talk to.
My closing thoughts would be definitely to have our consistent messaging, to get it in front of all of our prenatal care providers, home visitors, people dealing with the population, so at least families are hearing the same thing. And then coming around the families and supporting them to offer alternative support. And then to keep good track of these babies, as you said, and support them in their childhood.
Okay. Because those medical students going into pediatrics, they need to know this. Okay.
Legality does not equal safety.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things that are legal.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that they're safe for us to consume.
Yes, like alcohol.
Yeah, and I think my closing thought would be that, you know, I think this is going to be a long-term project, kind of in looking at other states that have had recreational marijuana legalized for a long period of time. They are doing a lot of work in ensuring that their healthcare providers have education and training materials that they can then take and work with their patients. So I think Illinois is just starting. That's, you know, based on my personal experience, we're not at that stage yet, but we certainly have opportunity to make things better.
Yeah, but Dr. Shelley is, I see her, she's connected with UECOMP. So you can get those professors to put that in their curriculum. Because right before I left, I got them to put some stuff in the curriculum, and I went and spoke to them last month, and they said, we got this in the curriculum. We're using that now.
I do grab the learners that I'm around, but you're right. We need to, give me some names.
Well, the only one I know for sure is Dr. Amy Christensen.
Wonderful.
Get Amy. She'll help you pass.
She would help. She absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Dr. Shelley Shallot, Medical Director of Newborn Nursery, Sarah Williams, BSN RN, Supervisor Birth to Five at Tazewell County Health Department, and also a Master Nursing student, and Afifi Halaby, who arranged this interview today to talk about an issue that's very critical and very important to pregnant women or women that are considering raising families later on, so that you know that medical marijuana does not necessarily equate to medicinal marijuana. And because it's a natural plant, doesn't mean that it's not harmful. So you need to call these ladies up, OSF, Children's Hospital, UE Comp, and talk to them before you consider that. Ask your providers these questions, because challenge them on that, you know, so that women will give their, well, women and dads too. We know we leave dads out. We need to get the father involved too. Let them give them that information so that they can talk about it and help spread the word as well. And also consult with their spouses and partners when they talk about their offspring. So I want to thank you so much. You've been listening to How Do You Feel? The show dedicated to your health and wellness that is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. This show airs at 11 a.m. on Saturday, repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. And if by chance you miss it, a week or so later, you can get it on podcast, WPNV's podcast page, which is WPNV.org. Simply look for podcast page and the topic is How Do You Feel? And then you too can get this information. And then you can help spread the word about how this impacts children. So I want to thank Dr. Shallot, Nurse Williams, and Nurse Fifi for coming again, taking time out to share this information. And we hope that you get this study going and come back and tell us what the results are and the progress you've made, and where you can say that you're now partnering with all the medical providers and they're all having this conversation about, you know, how there's some things, you know, you always think about, you know, the pap smear and all that. So we can have that thrown in there just like that. And women can talk about it and ask about it when they come and see you. I want to thank those in Radio Land for listening and hope that you will join us again next week. Now is always the right time.